West Sacramento, KRXQ HD2 Sacramento, ESPN 1320, Sacramento sports leader. Always live on the Odyssey app. Welcome back to hour number two of the ESPN 1320 Insiders. Get ready for the most up-to-date sports news and talk with the ESPN 1320 Insiders.
Welcome back into the Insiders. I'm James Hamm. Joining me, Jesse Tapia today. Kyle Madsen is out. He'll be back tomorrow. We have Joe Brazil hiding behind the glass. We're, of course, brought to you by Jiffy Lube. We had this really cool thing that happened last week, and we didn't get to talk about it on Friday because Joe had to go do the other part of his job here. You got to, and that seemed like a very, very cool event.
It was cool. Yeah.
Yes. Cool. So you went out and hung out with Abe?
Yeah. So on Friday, we had a live broadcast for 98 Rock. We probably cleared at least 300, 400 people in and out those doors all day.
That's crazy.
So it was insane. It was a ton of fun. Shout out to everyone. I'm sure at least a couple people that are listening were out there. So shout out to them. So that's what I was doing on Friday.
Yeah. Okay. But Thursday, that's the day. The Kings played the Blazers, and Joe got to shadow. He got to shadow me for a day, and between me and Charlie.
Yep.
It was fun to watch you like big eyed like the whole time.
Yeah.
Like, oh my gosh, I can't believe this is happening.
Yeah, I couldn't believe it. Yeah. So the look was correct. I was absolutely having the time of my life. I've told the story a million times over already since Thursday. And it honestly took a while once I got home for me to like kind of let it all sink in. Just it was a crazy day. So to go from just being a huge fan of this team to covering it to being with you guys now to be able to do that, it was just absolutely absurd. Like I remember when we walked out onto the court and Keegan and Keon were just sitting right there, and it was like, dude, this is.
Yeah, you were like, that's Keegan.
I was like, James, that's Keegan Murray.
So. We had this weird situation where Sean and I had a conversation with Wes Wilcox.
Yeah.
And we had to leave Joe. Mm-hmm. I'm like, all right, Joe, don't go anywhere.
Don't touch anything. Don't break anything, Joe. Don't move.
Do not pick up a basketball and dribble it. Do not go anywhere. But I thought overall, like, again, I've had this with Brendan, like, you know, getting to see, like, the coverage, you know, it's 15 years and I've seen every crazy thing you could possibly imagine. Yeah. And to see it through to watch somebody else seeing it for the first time is 100%. Really cool. And then we had this weird situation, which never, ever, ever, ever happens. I don't think this has ever happened. We have. Our media badges have like a tier on them, and I have a tier one media pass because I'm allowed in the locker room.
Yeah.
I think there's only maybe 10, maybe 8 or 10 tier one media passes. There's not very many. And those are the only people who get to go in the locker room in pregame or postgame. And out of nowhere, we're sitting in the media room. We got done with Zach LaVine in the press area. And media relations came in, shout out to Shannon, and said, hey, it's going to be a little bit, we're just going to open up the locker room for everyone.
Yeah.
And it's like, what do you mean for everyone? Because, again, I haven't seen everyone allowed in the locker room since pre-pandemic. And,
yep.
And so everyone got to go, including Joe, got to go into the locker room. And then it's like, okay, no still pictures. No,
yeah.
Like, you can
absolutely.
So hard-hitting questions from Joe Brazil. Malik Monk, how do you feel when the season has transpired?
Yeah, what is the vibes like? Yeah. I just walked straight up to LaVine. Yeah,
yeah.
Ask him about the vibes.
So definitely, like, you have to, but there's more. Like, hey, I don't even want you to pull out your camera and record because your recording could be too excited and not be paying attention. And because this has happened in the past where somebody has been recording somebody and then in the background, a player decides to drop his towel and get dressed.
And yep. You post that on accident.
And I don't want Joe posting that on accident or showing a video to his friends of somebody's behind and it getting back to or other parts and getting it back. So overall, I thought it was, what was your favorite moment?
Oh man, dude, there was so many. It had to have been going into the locker room after the win. That was by far the best moment. I mean, everything was so crazy, but after a win, You know, you see the whiteboard. They still got all the keys up on the whiteboard. They got the throne right there. You know, people still buzzing. Keon, Zach, everyone just kind of going back and forth, bantering. We got to watch the end of that basketball game.
Oh, Arkansas was playing. Arkansas lost, which is one of
They choked.
Malik, we got to see that. Malik Monk. That we got to share that moment. It had to have been the locker room, no doubt. And then also just getting to meet all of the other media people that I've heard and haven't got to meet in person. Shout out to all. Everyone was so nice. You know, it was super cool. I got to even meet Jerry. I met everybody.
No, you got to meet Gary.
Gary, sorry. And it was, dude, it was just absolutely insane. Like, so, yeah, all of it, truly. Like, it had to have been the locker room, though. It did.
Yeah. Pretty cool. Pretty cool experience.
We got a good farm system here at 1320.
Yeah, we're working. We're building, right? That's how you do it. Like, you take time and make sure that...
Joe's been working for a few years, too, for this. So
yeah.
Shout out.
You get to experience something cool, something different. Yeah. Good stuff. Well, the Kings play another game tonight. And
they do.
Yeah, they do. Tonight, the 36 and 38 Sacramento Kings take on the Indiana Pacers, who are 43 and 31 on the season. It sure does feel like every time the Kings are at a low point, and you know they can't really get any worse, they have to play Tyrese Haliburton, which is just like this.
Tyrese Halliburton's always there.
He's like he's like a bad penny for them. You know, just keeps showing up.
Yeah, Indiana's looking good right now.
They are looking good.
I'm not ready to say, because I think the way it'd work out, they'd match up with the Cavs in the second round. I'm not ready to say Indy can get them yet. Well, the Cavs have not been looking good as of late, but like Indy might go on another run like they did last year.
It's funny, the Kings kind of broke the Cavs.
Yeah, you might be right. Yeah.
Yeah, for whatever reason. The one thing I noticed with the Cavs is they didn't deal well with size in the post. Uh-huh. Like, they have long athletic dudes, but could not figure out how to manage either Sabonis or Valanciunas.
Yeah.
And so that's one thing that stood out. I believe Sabonis was in that game. No, maybe he wasn't. I think it was Valanciunas, but it like stood out. You're like, oh, they're not great with the big guys. Starters tonight looks like Keon Ellis, Zach LaVine, DeMar DeRozan, Keegan Murray, Domantas Sabonis. That is, of course, if Doug Christie stays with the lineup that he's had the last two games. Keon Ellis slid into the starting lineup against the Blazers and had a great game. He, like everybody else, did not have a good game against Orlando, but neither did Malik Monk. For the Pacers, it looks like Haliburton, Nembhard, Nesmith, Siakam, and Turner. For the injury report, we've got Jake LaRavia and Devin Carter are out. Devin Carter hurt his right shoulder in the game against Orlando, which is not a good thing, although that is not his... That's not the surgically repaired shoulder from this summer. I do believe, though, that he did have surgery on his right shoulder when he was younger.
Do we know anything yet about what it's looking like for these last three games?
No, we have no idea, but they're calling it a contusion, I have no idea. Jake LaRavia has a contusion on... and a bone bruise on his thumb. And so that's going to keep him out 7 to 10 days from, I want to say Saturday is when we got that note, 7 to 10 days. He's going to miss a good portion of what's left. And then, of course, for the Pacers, Isaiah Jackson is out. Benedict Mathurin is out. And they have a couple of bumps and bruises, but I haven't seen anything else. Jesse, let's get to some keys to the game.
You want me to start off? Or you want to start off?
No, we'll start off with you.
All right, yeah. Don't dig a hole for yourself that you have to climb out after the first quarter. Against the Thunder, I think you were down 10. Against the Magic, game was over after the first quarter, and it's too difficult for you to try and. All right, we got to go on a run, guys. Now we got to bring it back, and then once you do get back, or you're within six, then like these other teams are still picking up. Like, don't dig a hole for yourself that you have to climb out of already to start the game.
Yeah, you know what? On that point, I think one of the problems that I've seen with the Kings is that when they have a big quarter to start a game and they jump out to a lead, it's usually because they're doing things that are that don't usually translate, that they aren't going to be able to repeat. So like I remember a game a week and a half ago, and I think Keegan Murray hit 5 threes and Trey Lyles hit 4 in the first quarter, and the Kings walked out of the quarter up 5. And you're like, okay, well, that's not going to happen again. So this, we're in for a long night, right? And that's exactly what happened. They weren't able to pick it up. I feel like when the Kings get thumped in the first quarter, it's by the basics and it's always sustainable. It's like, oh, look, they gave up a whole bunch of three-point shots. And it doesn't matter if Orlando came in as the worst three-point shooting team in the NBA. Mm. It just doesn't matter. The Kings give up wide-open looks like nobody else. And so when they are in trouble, it's usually because it's sustainable things that are happening on the court that, you know, play out the rest of the game and you don't have a shot. So I agree with you. Don't let somebody jump out on you early. Defend the three-point line. How about that?
Like, that'd be nice.
Like, I don't know, whatever has happened here, that's the one thing that has to change in the offseason. Yeah. They have got to either find better defenders or have a scheme that does not allow to.
Yeah, that's one happening. You're going to have to fix because, like, newsflash, the rest of the NBA is starting to play this way now.
Yep.
Like, you're going to get killed.
Okay, so my first key is to show up. After Saturday's loss, the Kings look lost. Hey, you got the bell. There it is. The Kings look completely lost again. And that's just, to me, I don't understand how they keep just looking completely lost mid, like deep into a season where you look great one night and again the level of talent went up, but the Orlando Magic aren't some world beaters. They're sub 500.
They lost to the Mavericks the game before that, I believe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's just like, really, it's embarrassing that you show up one night and don't the next. Uh-huh. That's the inconsistency of play. So after not showing up against Orlando, you know, you've got to find a way to be forceful from the opening tip.
All right, I'm gonna piggyback on that one because this kind of connects to it. Play connected basketball, like we talked about it this morning or earlier. Like, you need to play. Was it? I don't want to bring this name up, but Luke Walton, didn't he play on a string and all that?
Yeah.
Like, you need to play connected basketball. It's not like, oh, I'm gonna get my shot, Malik get your shot, this person gets their shot. Like, you have to play good team basketball today to have a chance.
Yeah, and I would say, like, if you go back to the Blazers game, the Kings only had 24 assists in that game, but they had so many good passes. Mm-hmm. And that's what it was about. The ball was hopping. Everyone was engaged. Everybody was on board with what was happening. You get to the next game, and again, it looks like, you know, a couple of guys just, like, it slept through the alarm clock.
Yep.
Really brutal. Okay, let's get to my second key. You got to dominate the glass. This is a very, very bad rebounding team. And this is one of those, like, clear areas where the Kings are better than a team at a specific thing. And if the Kings can find a way to dominate the rebounding aspect of the game, they do have a shot here.
All right, my final key. I'm not even going to ask you guys to play defense. We're going Kenny Caraway style today. Like, you need to score at least 115 to have a chance. The Pacers in their last 22, they're averaging 120 a game. Like, they're playing good basketball right now. Like, you're going to have to score tonight. So I'm not going to say score 120 or whatever, but at least 115 to be in the ball range of having the ballpark of having a chance of winning.
Yeah, and that's where the Kings have really struggled. Yeah. But, like, the offensive end, it's been bad, and it's led to bad defense, but it's realistically, the offense has not been good.
I don't see how you hold this team to 105 or 100 tonight. Like, you're going to have to score with them.
Yep. All right, my last key. Nobel? Don't let TJ McConnell bust you up. This dude has, specifically against Fox, I mean, he just dominated Fox every time, but he knows exactly where he wants to get on the floor and he has no problems getting there. And then he's one of those dudes who, for, I don't know, whatever he is, 6 foot, 6'1", he has an ability that's uncanny to score at the rim. And he has just done so much damage to the Kings over the course of his career.
You think he sees the Kings on the schedule, like, coming up on, like, today, what, Monday? Oh, yeah, Kings coming up, it's TJ time. Like, I'm ready.
Oh, yeah. No, I think so. And if I were him, you might want to consider, like, going to Sacramento. Mm-hmm. Because, I mean, if you can score that many against the Kings every time.
Do it for 82 games.
Maybe you can be the answer at point guard. TJ McConnell is my third key. You got to figure out a way to stop him. Matchup of the game, what do you got?
Well, Tyrese Haliburton versus Keon Ellis. You said every time the Kings seem to be faltering or whatever, Tyrese Halliburton's kind of a boogeyman right there. So we'll go Tyrese versus Keon Ellis.
There we go. I love that. And then I'm also going to go Malik Monk versus TJ McConnell. Malik has to do his best to
somebody. Please stop TJ McConnell.
Well, somebody, if he scores 16 points tonight, I mean, you're not going to win. You're not going to win. All right, so those are your keys to tonight's victory. The Sacramento Kings play the Indiana Pacers. I think the game starts at 4 p.m.
Yes, sir.
Early start today. So I'm going to try to catch that. And The Oakland A's game.
James?
The Sacramento A's. The Sacramento A's. I'm going to try to catch both games tonight. One via TV, one via in person. All right. We're going to step aside when we come back. We're going to talk more about this chase for the play-in and where the Kings stand right now with everything going on with the Phoenix Suns, Dallas Mavericks, and, of course, the Kings. I'm James. It's Jesse over there, Joe behind the glass, brought to you by Jiffy Lube. See you in just a minute.
You're listening to The Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen, sponsored by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320 and 98.5 HD2, Sacramento sports leader. To the Insiders, brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
Welcome back in. James Hamm hanging out with Jesse Tapia today here on the Insiders. Joe Brazil behind the glass. No Kyle Madsen today. Typically, I make up things that Kyle's
he's currently
doing.
Riding the Matterhorn right now as we speak. He's on the Matterhorn.
That would be amazing.
Yeah.
What's your favorite Disney ride?
This is California Adventure, but I like Guardians of the Galaxy, most Tower of Terror, whatever.
Okay.
Space Mountain's cool. Yes. I'll go Indiana Jones for Disney.
Oh, dude. Indiana Jones is a good one.
Indiana Jones is fire. I don't get tired of that.
That is a really good one.
Yeah.
So I'm kind of old school. I like to go on Indiana Jones. I like to go on Pirates, and I like to go on the Haunted Mansion. And if you're there when there's no one at the park, I'll just keep going on those until I can't go on them anymore.
This might be kind of blasphemous, though, but I'm more of a Universal Studios guy.
Oh.
That's not crazy.
I haven't seen any of the Harry Potter stuff.
The Harry Potter stuff is dope. I was there for New Year's or whatever a couple years ago, and they do it all up. Have the cast looking all crazy and stuff. I like the movie stuff.
Cars
and all that. It's more
is
my
fun,
line.
You know? The Cars area, all that.
See, I'm not a big California Adventure guy. We're going down at the beginning of May, and we're going to try to hit everything. I haven't seen any of the new Star Wars stuff.
Is Emiliano O in the chat? Is this real? Guardians of the Galaxy closed down for too many pooping incidents.
What? I mean, it's been there forever. What are you talking about? No way. That's hilarious.
Like, maybe they just shut it down because people were shutting it down.
I don't usually like the big drop, you know, like rides like that. I had a great time.
There's a Reddit thread on it.
Huh. I'm on that same thread
there's
right
a Reddit
now.
Thread
I'm
on
literally
it.
On that thread.
Yeah, there's a Reddit thread. There's enough. He said there was a third incident.
Oh, no. I haven't also looked to see what's going to be open and what's not. And I always hate when you get to the park and one of the great rides that you love is shut down. You're like,
what? Yeah, Tower of Terror was going through the whole transition last time, so...
Tom Too Witty, shout out to the 209, everyone who knew Manteca Water Slides.
Yeah. Manteca Water Slides.
Great America.
That was a throwback.
When I was a kid.
Do you know what Manteca Water Slides is?
Actually, I don't.
Wow.
I don't,
okay,
yeah.
So when I was a kid, they would put us on a bus, and that was like an hour and 45 minute drive to get to Manteca from where I grew up. And we would do that. Like, it was always like band. We always got to go for band or something.
Yeah, my mom would take me and my brother to the Manteca water slides like during the summer and stuff like that.
Yeah, you know you're getting close because Manteca smells.
Facts. Yes, James, you know, I've been saying this for the longest time. Manteca does not smell great. It's fine. It's a fine little town, but it's not smell great.
I don't know what it is that makes it smell so bad.
It's so bad.
They've got to have some sort of refinery plant or something.
Something.
Yeah, it's bad. Yeah. So my grandparents grew up in Modesto. So when I grew up, my grandparents lived in Modesto. Yeah. So we would drive down and I had a great uncle in like Keys. So we would drive through that area.
Shout out.
Anyway, we did get a question in the chat during the break, which of course you can join us there at youtube.com/ESPN1320 and be part of the chatty house. It's always a great time. Joe O, one of our friends here at ESPN 1320, he said, "Will we rather the Kings keep their pick this year, or for it to just convey?" Jesse, what are your thoughts on this?
It conveys if they finish outside of top 12, right?
Yeah. So the pick is top 12 protected this year and top 10 protected next year.
Okay. I guess. I mean, I'm still pro I'm still pro win as many games as you can. I'm still pro if you get to the plan, win those games, and get swept in the playoffs. So I guess if you lost your pick, no, we're talking through it. Like, if you lose the pick and you miss out on the playoffs because you lost in the plan, that's tough. It's a double-edged sword right here. I feel like I don't know what the right answer is, like, truly. Like, missing the play-in or whatever and say your odds in the lottery don't go well and Atlanta gets that pick, like, that's not looking great. I don't even have playoffs to, like, kind of hold my hat on here. So okay. The other side, if you miss the play-in, like, you got a better shot of keeping your pick that way. I don't know. Like, kind of one or the other here.
So the Kings right now, they sit at the 13th pick, uh-huh. And they're top 12 protected.
Yeah.
And first of all, it doesn't convey until after the draft lottery.
Yeah.
So if you're the 13th pick and somehow you magically get lucky, which is like a 0.01% chance,
uh-huh. And
you move up into the top four, then you get to keep it,
yeah.
Right? And then it would go to the next season. And that's where, like, again, it's going to be top 10 protected next season. And also the mechanisms, if it doesn't convey next year, it dissolves and becomes a pair of seconds, a 2026 and 2027. So that matters because if you convey the pick this year, that means that July 1st, number one, you don't have a first round pick, but July 1st, you now have access to 26 through 32 first round picks. You have an additional 2027 and an additional 2031. And because as of right now, there's a hold on your 26 and 27 picks, your second round picks, you get those back. So I know 2 second round picks don't equal a first round pick,
uh-huh. But
it's also not bad that you would all of a sudden have more second round picks to go out and make deals with.
Yeah.
I think it'd be a real bummer if the Kings walked into this offseason and had no first round pick, they can't make a trade, and next thing you know, you're running it back with the same roster that was highly ineffective this season.
Yeah, and that's the thing, you can't do that. Like, I'm of the belief if you make the playoffs or miss, whatever, you still need to retool. I think you talked about it last week on Dealing with KC, talking about building around maybe Sabonis, Levine, Keon, and Keegan, kind of that being your core, and, like, building a legit team around that where you got, like, wings and all that stuff. I think that's the route they need to go. And, yeah, you can't kind of handcuff yourself this offseason. So I guess if it came down to it, yeah, I'd rather just whatever's going to free them up because, like, moves have to be made.
Yeah, I would say the other thing that the Kings have that's kind of a weird situation, number one, because they own a 2027 first-round pick, they actually, if they don't convey the pick this year, they can trade either their 2027 or I think it's a San Antonio Spurs 2027 next season. So they would have all of a full array of picks to trade. There's also a possibility that, like, look, whoever takes over this team, or if they do a switch out of the front office, they just kind of throw their hands up and say, we're not doing this. I'm not building this team. We're going to take a huge step back. And so if you miss the play-in this year, you would owe a top 10 protected pick. But if next season you just go, hey, we're going to be bad, and you start trading off a bunch of players so you can be bad, there's a possibility that you never actually convey a first-round pick, that it would just be the 2 second round picks that would go your 2026 and 2027. And I think that it has to be on the table. If you miss the play-in this year, it has to be on the table that you're just going to go for broke and you're going to blow this thing up and try to figure out the pick situation down the road.
You think they feel the same way, or do you think they're going to try and make the most out of it once again? We missed the playoffs, but hey, Zach LaVine's here. Domas is here. Like, we can work. Trade DeRozan.
I think that they probably are in that line of attack. Like, but, you know, I think we're hearing murmurs right now that, you know, whether it's Sam Amick or it's others out there on the internet, that the Kings are going to have to show Domantas Sabonis that they're serious about building a winner, because uh-huh. He's not going to want to waste his entire, like, prime on a team, on a franchise that doesn't want to win or that can't figure out how to win. So they're going to... Like, Sabonis and his people are going to be very harsh on the Kings this summer, and they're going to push, like, hey, improve this roster now. Like, there's no reason to wait, and what are you doing? And this is one of the things that I'll keep pointing to. Everything that's happened here feels so avoidable.
In what ways?
Like, you knew this summer that your roster wasn't good enough. And you also knew that De'Aaron Fox had told you very specifically that if you fire Mike Brown, I don't want to be here and I want to be traded, uh-huh. Right? So wouldn't it behoove you to like put together the best roster possible to walk into the season, to not only give Mike Brown the ammunition to win games, you know, and on top of that, you know, the ammunition to keep De'Aaron Fox?
Yeah. Counterpoint to that, I guess, is that, like, did Monty ever come, like, didn't he come with John Collins and stuff, and Mike kind of turned that down?
No, I mean, the thing
like
is,
I feel like was DeMar DeRozan, I guess, was, like, DeMar DeRozan, like, a third option?
Or yeah, but that's because they struck out on two other players.
Yeah, that's what I mean, like, they, I don't know, it comes down to results and all that, but...
Yeah, but even if Mike Brown turns, it says no, I would prefer not to have John Collins. That doesn't mean that you just go, okay. Uh-huh. No, sometimes you have, as a GM, you have to say, hey, look, this guy's playing really well. He gives us an opportunity to be better, and I'm going to make the trade. So, I mean, depending on what the trade looked like, and I don't think we know what it was, but it was probably Trey Lyles and Kevin Huerter at that point for John Collins, along with a first-round pick or something. But, like, it's on you to basically, like, build the winner that you're supposed to have. Like, that you're, the job as a GM is to, like Monty says, maintain and improve. Uh-huh. They didn't maintain and they didn't improve. Like, your job is to keep adding pieces until you have a championship contender. When you are the third seed in the Western Conference one year, you win 48 games, which might be low for the, you know, for the third seed. But, like, it's on you to, like, add the pieces that are missing.
Yeah, unless you win the title, you should always be aiming to get better.
No, of course. And even if you win a title,
still might need to look.
You still need to look.
Or some internal development, at least.
Your Celtics, they lost the finals, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they went out, and what did they do? They added Jrue Holiday. They added Kristaps Porzingis.
Yep.
Like, they said, oh, we lost.
Made tough decision. I'm trading Marcus Smart, too.
Yeah, yeah. And you make the tough decision because that's what it's about. It's like, hey, you've got to try to improve the roster each and every way. So, as of right now, the Kings, they are still in the play-in spot. As of today, they are a half game behind the Dallas Mavericks for the ninth seed. So if the season were to end right now, the Kings would have to fly to Dallas to play the first play-in game. That's not a great thing, right?
Nope.
Yeah, that's not where you expected to be.
Well, yeah, just how did you, like, the whole thing is, like, how did you fall behind this team? I guess we've seen it play out, but it's just, like, it wasn't supposed to play out this way.
I totally agree. It should not have played out this way.
It just makes even, like, getting behind this team even tougher.
Yeah. And at this point, Dallas is about to get both, I think it's Derek Lively and Daniel Gafford both returned, and they participated in shoot around today, and there's an opportunity for them to play tonight.
If I had to call it right now, what do I think is gonna happen? This team is gonna probably get bounced to play in. I wouldn't be shocked if it happened to Dallas either.
I wouldn't be surprised if it's like, I think that they can get through Dallas or Phoenix, but the next game is going to be tough. And as of right now, we can look at the schedule, and the schedule is the Clippers and Timberwolves would be the 7-8 matchup right now. The Timberwolves are a half game behind the Warriors for the sixth seed. But then you're looking at either the Clippers, you know, as a 7 versus the Timberwolves as a 7. There's a possibility that the Timberwolves somehow overtake the Warriors and get a true play-in spot at the sixth spot. And then it would be Clippers and Warriors and a one-game play-in. But neither one of those are great options for the Kings.
Yeah, it's not pie in the sky because we've seen how this team plays against better teams and all that. Like, they can't show up. But it's just there's no reasoning for picking them, I think, against the Timberwolves or Clippers. I mean, the Lakers are only two games up on the sixth seed right now, or two, I think, two. So or the play-in spot, excuse me. They're not. So it's not just said it'll be the Clippers or Timberwolves. Like, some of these other teams could fall back a bit.
Yeah, but we're down to the wire. I mean, there's not much time left in the season. So strength of schedule, the Kings have a 508 strength of schedule remaining with eight games remaining. That's the 14th most difficult schedule in the NBA. The Mavs have a 502 strength of schedule and they only have seven games remaining, which is 15th. So all things considered, Kings, Mavs have the same strength of schedule. On top of that, the Suns are the team that's chasing. They have 7 games left. Their strength of schedule is the most difficult in the NBA at a 6-0-6. And, of course, Kevin Durant got hurt.
Yeah, out for at least the next 3 games.
Yeah.
I think this is what the plan is going to be looking like. It'll be Mavs and Kings in the 9-10 spot. I don't know how it's going to end after these 8 games, whether it be Kings 9 or Mavs 10, but I think I'm ready to be done with the Suns.
Are you?
Yeah. I mean, they got blown out a couple times with KD, and it's like, now you're going to need him for this last stretch.
Yeah.
I don't see how this team gets through.
And then, of course, the Kings, just so people know out there, the Kings have a 3-0 record against the Mavs this season, and the season series over. They swept the season series. So that's a team that, like, realistically you want to play. Although, I'm not saying that because the Mavs have, you know, you beat the Mavs 3 times. The Mavs are a completely different team today than they were the 3 times that the Kings played them.
Yeah.
Luka's gone. Kyrie blew out his knee. All of these things happen. He blew out his knee against the Kings, right? I believe it was. Yeah.
Yeah, because he stepped on Valanciunas' foot, I think. He stepped on someone's foot. I know that's how it did it.
Yeah, he took a bad plant step and it kind of, it went sideways. And then he stayed in, shot the free throws.
Yeah,
so, but my point about playing the Mavs here is that's, you have a tiebreaker against the Mavs. So if you tie at the end of the season, then you would be the home team. They would have to fly to you, and that actually matters. So, as of right now, I mean, these teams are basically locked in a virtual tie.
You expecting anything from the Kings these last 8 games? They'll probably, I think, end up 500. I think we know who this team is. They'll have a couple more stinkers, they'll have a couple more wins, but I think, like, we know how this will end, I think.
Okay.
At least after game 82.
So they have 9 games left. You think they'll go 5-4 to get to 500? That's what it takes to get to 500.
Without even looking at the schedules, yeah, I'm just going to stick to it. Yeah, I think they'll go 500.
Okay. Well, I mean, I don't disagree with you because I think there's a good chance the Suns are going to be shot on the last game of the season. You still have a game against the Wizards, the Hornets, after tonight's game against Indiana. You have a game against the Cavs. You have a game against the Pistons. Then you got the Nuggets at home, followed by the Clippers at home, followed by the Suns.
Yeah.
Well, 5 wins is a lot.
Yeah, like Sakirin in the chat says, hell no. Like, I get it, but it's just, I can't. If I'm not going to make something out of when they beat the Blazers, like, I'm also not going to make something when they lose by 30 to the Magic. It's just this team is just too inconsistent. Or they've been a 500 team all year, so I'm expecting them to finish out that way.
Yeah. No, I mean, you might be right. I think they'll beat the Wizards. I think they'll beat the Hornets. I think they'll beat the Suns on the last game of the season. The rest of them, I don't have a lot of faith, whether it's the Pacers, the Cavs, the Pistons, or the Nuggets.
You're going to have to surprise us on a couple, at least.
Yeah, even the Clippers. They just to get to 4-5, they're going to have to beat someone that you didn't expect them to. Mm-hmm. And that means that they would finish the season under 500. That's pretty wild.
Yeah. It's been a bad year. I don't think you're getting playoffs, so it's been a real down year.
Yeah, I did not expect this team to be in this situation where they are at right now. But that's the reality. Again, the Kings face the Indiana Pacers tonight at 4:00. It should be an interesting game. Again, it's the age-old Domantas Sabonis returns to Indiana to face Tyrese Halliburton, the former...
Domantas Sabonis revenge game.
There we go. Or will it be the Tyrese Halliburton revenge game?
Yeah.
One of the two is probably going to happen. So I definitely think this is a big game. And, you know, the Kings are already 0-1 on the 5-game, 6-game road trip. Things aren't looking spectacular
for this
team.
Shout out to the Kings fans still sticking with this team, too. Because I just, like, there's nothing to, like, what do you even expect? Like, how do you even get behind them or whatever? It's kind of like watching the game with your eyes kind of like this.
Like, yeah.
This team is so difficult. Not even to get a grasp on, just... I don't know. This is a bad basketball team, I think is what I'm trying to say.
You kind of just start to get a kick out of it.
Yeah, Joe, how do you feel watching these guys?
You just get a kick out of it eventually. Like, you kind of just start laughing, you know, truly. Like, you just have fun. You try to enjoy it in any way, you shape or form you can. That's kind of how I do it.
Turning Kings fans into the Joker, damn.
I honestly, like, shout out to Kings fans that cover this team forever. And, like, the loyal group to a fault. I mean, this team has done nothing to earn the amount of loyalty that the fan base gives them. So, all right, we're going to step aside. When we come back, I think we're going to have a handoff. If not, it'll be Jesse and I finishing out the show here with Joe Brazil behind the glass over there. We are the Insiders, brought to you by Jiffy Lube, and we'll see you in just a minute.
You're listening to The Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen, sponsored by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320 and 98.5 HD2, Sacramento's sports leader. Now, back to The Insiders, brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
Welcome back into The Insiders. I'm James Hamm. Joining me, Jesse Tapia today. And of course, we have Joe Brazil here hanging out with us, working the board. We're brought to you by Jiffy Lube. And, you know, we were just talking about like some of the tallest people that have played in the NBA. I never got to cover Yao Ming, I don't believe.
Yao Ming could have been a lot better than he was if not for his foot injuries.
Yeah.
Not better, but just more so longevity, I say.
Yao Ming is a tremendously large human being.
Yeah, though. Yao Ming, too. I feel like he was starting to take threes towards the end, too.
Maybe.
A tiny bit.
Okay.
Yeah. So, a little bit before his time.
One of my first games I ever went to was the Kings versus the Golden State Warriors, and so I got to see Manute Bol. But I didn't get to stand next to Manute Bol. Manute Bol is like a good 7'7". But, like, maybe weighed like 185 pounds, like the skinniest dude you've ever seen. I mean, like his son is very similar. Bobo is very similar in build, but I think he's even like he's bigger.
Oh,
like,
definitely.
Yeah, they have a you know weightlifting program now that guys do.
Yeah,
that they didn't have in Manute the '80s. Bull
was
and 90s.
Absurd character. Definitely.
Yeah, yeah, and I've stood next to Boban before. That's a tall individual.
Movie star Boban.
Yeah.
Isn't John Wick 4, yeah, I think?
John Wick star. Is it 3 or 4?
Might be 3. Whatever yeah. One's beating him up with the book.
Yeah, so Boban's huge. I've always said this. Aaron Gray is one of the biggest people that I've ever met. He looked like Grizzly Adams, and it wasn't just that he was like 7'2", 7'3", but like broad enough to like have to turn sideways to a door frame, and then like chest-wise, you know, a good like foot and a half thick chest.
Yeah.
Like just a gigantic human being. A lot like how Valanciunas is like a tremendously tall human.
Yeah. It's just an NBA stars are massive.
Dude, I know it seems so silly. It really does.
Oh, yeah.
But
Joe's
you
talking about
you don't quite understand. I mean, yeah. Obviously you guys get it. But.
I walked past DeMarcus Cousins one time and he looks bigger playing than he actually is.
Yeah, Cousins 6'10".
Yeah.
6'10", 6'11", I think listed at 6'11", more like 6'9½" without shoes. He's a big dude. Jason Thompson's a big dude, too. So, like, that's one of those guys that, like, in my early years covering this team, you had to cover. You went over and talked to Jason Thompson all the time. And, like, you're always surprised because at a certain point, you kind of lose, like, that, hey, look how tall he is, you know? You lose that. Oh, look at that. Casey's here.
What's good?
I got it.
There we go. What's good, fellas?
Our resident tall person here.
What's up?
What's happening?
I'm considered tall.
My wife 5'6", yeah.
My wife would disagree. She said you're short.
I'm 5'6". You're all tall to me.
Are you the tallest one in the group, like of all of us?
Who's Kenny?
James is a little taller than me.
Yeah, James. Okay,
yeah.
True.
I think James got a... Oh, nasty. You got to be careful what you say around.
You got to be careful.
You got to be careful what you say.
I'm 5'11".
I think James, you know... Well,
I'm 5'11 without shoes. I'm over 6 foot with shoes.
Well, see, that's what I'm talking about. Yeah. Because I'm like, you ain't 5'11 with shoes on. Because I'm... 6 feet. That's what the internet says.
Chill out, running in the chat. Everybody's telling Jesse's 5'1". I'm 5'6". 5'6".
I don't treat
him.
Don't
shortchange me.
Don't treat him like Stephen Brown. Don't do
that.
Oh, hey.
Sorry, Stephen.
What's going on, Kenny?
Nothing much, man. Yeah, a lot of emotions going on, obviously, at Kings game on Saturday. That was disgusting. That was just awful. So, you know, we'll deal with that. We'll talk about that. But, yeah, that's what's going on. And then on the flip side, RIP, got a little handoff flip side. Man, it's still, like, kind of trippy. Major League Baseball is going to be here today and for the foreseeable future.
Doesn't it feel like the A's are showing up at just the right time? Because this Kings season just, like, it doesn't feel good. Like, the way it's ending, it just, like,
All right, question.
Yeah.
If... The Kings are kind of teetering over the next few years. They're not really doing anything. The A's are going to be here for the next like few years and all that. We'll call it 5.
Mm.
You think that's going to affect how people feel about the Kings, even though the A's are kind of temporary for the time being?
No,
like just, now, like, I've always seen that kind of, oh, the Kings are lucky. They only, yeah, they're the only team in town and all that. You think?
I don't think so, because they are temporary. If this was officially the Sacramento A's, yeah, it would affect them. But I think a lot of people feel the way that I feel about it. Like, I'm going to support the A's while they're here. I want to see them win. I'm going to go to the games. You know, I'm just going to enjoy that moment. But I'm not unbelievably invested in it because they're not ours. You know what I'm saying? So it's not like, just emotionally, I'm not super invested. So that's, to answer your question, that's what would keep people from, like, really diving in over the Kings. But if they, you know, in 4 or 5 years or something like that, say, hey, we're staying and we're going to move forward and be on the state, whatever they're going to do here, and they're the Sacramento A's, that's when the Kings got to get their stuff together.
I mean, the Vegas thing is all nice. There's been no money exchange, right, yet?
No.
Yeah, that's not real to be honest.
But they have the patch on the jersey.
They blew up
they damn near don't have anything.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
And the Tropicana was going to be blown up anyway.
They're building a casino there, and it's only a 9-acre parcel that they're giving to the A's.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's interesting. I think the Kings have they should be a little concerned because they've jacked their ticket prices so high. They're one of the highest ticket prices in the NBA. And, you know, even like the Boston game, they flex priced that game so expensive that they had 1,500 open seats in the arena because people were like, oh, I'm not paying that. What are we doing here? I'm not paying that. And now you have the A's come in and the ticket prices for the A's is like per seat way higher than everybody else, right? But that's not real. Because it's on average, and they're gonna, like, front row for the A's is super expensive. A box for the A's is super expensive because it's supply and demand. There's not that many, right? The rest of the seats in the arena, in the stadium, aren't that expensive. You can go right now and find seats for $35-$40 for each seat. You can't do that for the Kings unless you're in the upper deck, and even that's getting a really, really good price on a ticket. So I think the Kings, like, they better start getting good, like, reasonably quick, because I think the A's are going to be good. And I think a lot of the money is going to transfer to the A's if the Kings aren't, like, very careful.
But I'll say this, and like I said, I do my little mini case study with this. You know, a lot of people want a tank and full rebuild. And I ask them every time they say that, you going to go to the games? No, I'm not going to the games. All right. Like, that's your prerogative. That's what you want to do. But you're telling this man to, like, tear it all down, lose money for the hopes of winning and bringing it. Because people have already said in a rebuild, I'm not going to support with my tickets. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
I'm not saying they would watch, but they've already said, like, no, I'm not going to the games. So you want a rebuild, but you also want this man to, like, take a negative or on ticket sales, at least. He's still going to be making money because it's the NBA, but, you know, take a step back. I don't know how that works. Like, it'd be one thing if you're like, yeah, I want to rebuild. And I know it can't be the same prices as they are right now. There's got to be an adjustment there too. But I want to rebuild. But yeah, I'll show up. I'll buy season tickets. I'll be there if they commit to a rebuild. But you can't say, in my opinion, you can't say, nah, tear it all down, and I'm not going to go to the games while you tear it down.
Yeah.
Like, that's not going to work.
No, it's a tough position to be in. And I would say this too. If the A's do stay here long term, I know Vivek was, like, very excited to get the A's here, right? And, like, basically gave them a free lease for the park. Mm-hmm. And then somebody's had to pay for all these upgrades, and I think they've split some of it, but, like, just the security bill was over $20 million to upgrade security for this team, for the stadium. But I think the problem is that if they do end up being here past the 3 years, and if we know that, say next year or a year and a half from now, we start to know that the A's could stay, right? And then there's going to be the talk about where they're going to put a stadium and all that stuff. The corporate money is going to shift, you know, and that's where the Kings could really lose out. The Kings have done a really nice job. We saw, Mark Cuban come out this weekend and say he lost in all the years he owned the Dallas Mavericks, he lost money in all but 1 year. And so, like, the Kings aren't that. They've been able to stay afloat with corporate money. But if you have another Major League Baseball, another entity sitting there, they could start losing some dollar here, and it could be pretty dramatic.
Do you think both of you guys, sorry, I'm running late, but do you, when you talk about the corporate dollars, do you think the fact that the seasons don't overlap might mitigate that?
Maybe a little bit, but still, corporate dollar is corporate dollar. You know, like we see it here at the radio station where money comes in and where it goes and all that stuff. Like, there's only so much of it out there, and it is what it is. So, all right, we got about 30 seconds here. What do you guys got coming up on D'Lo and Casey?
More on that travesty that happened on Saturday. Oof. That was disgusting. Like,
should
I said
we be
before.
Mad, though?
Yeah, you should be mad when you don't show up. If you lose, you lose. But that was nasty.
You can't no-show with 8 games left in the season, 9 games left in the season. All right, that's going to do it for the Insiders. Thanks, Jesse Tapia, for stepping in and hanging out all day.
Shout out, no problem.
We got Joe Brazil behind the glass. Thanks for joining us here for the last couple of minutes here, Casey. We got D'Lo and Casey coming up next. For my crew here, thanks for tuning in to the Insiders, brought to you by Jiffy Lube. See you tomorrow.
Beep.